Comedy.
Ciao. Welcome to the Comedy Hall.
All right.
Welcome to the Comedy Hall podcast. We have a special guest today. It's me. That was a weird transition into introducing.
What? No, that's not the special guest.
Welcome to the Comedy Hall podcast. Today it's me at Jordan Thomas Gray and Ariel Bielski.
Ariel Bielski.
Bea is not here. She is trapped inside a magic pizza that eats anyone who tries to eat it.
Yeah, it's sad.
And we have a special guest, Manish.
Sephi.
Manish Sephi.
Yeah, that's me. Hi.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
What up? What's going on?
I am here, so that's going on.
Yeah.
Manish.
Manish, cool guy. Cool guy just stepped into to the comedy scene. He comes to the shows and stuff, and he tried comedy a few times. How many times have you performed?
Like four times so far.
Brand new open micer.
Yeah.
Brand new open micer, but, you know, confident on stage.
Yeah, I think so.
That's the best compliment I could give you. Yeah. Confident on stage. But it's four times, so of course, that's a good thing, of course. You're not nervous on stage. It doesn't look nervous.
I mean, I haven't...
I think that's a compliment.
I haven't seen you perform, but you're confident in person. And
you haven't seen him perform?
I haven't, no.
Oh, okay.
I'm always performing, though, whenever you met me. It's an act.
Yeah.
Really, though. That's not I am.
Well, Manish is the CEO of Pavlok, and like most CEOs, he is a sociopath, so I believe that.
Yeah.
Right.
Just two murders a month.
Oh, dude, I saw your, what's it called, the Shark Tank?
Oh, man, that's just crazy.
Dude, I saw Shark Tank. One thing I totally didn't understand is their criticism of you made no fucking sense.
No sense.
Because what they said, if you didn't see that, did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so what they said, they were like, what studies did you do? And then Manish was like, I've cited these studies. And they're like, what studies did you do? You can't cite studies for your own product. And that's basically...
That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense because that's basically what they teach us in school to do is like cite other work. And also it's like, no, it's like a scientific fact. And they're like, no, it's not. You have to do your own studies.
Exactly. I'm like, yo, that's what science is. Yeah, you use background evidence to prove your own point.
Exactly.
Also, like running your own study, we've done the numbers. It's like over $1 million. And so like the point of going on a Shark Tank show was like, we've got a great idea, a great product. Already got customers.
It doesn't make sense because also like, you know, when they have, I remember my science teacher was a killer science teacher. He was awesome. He was really, really good. I love science. And he was one of the best. Mr. Kilroy, shut up, Mr. Kilroy. he was talking about animal testing and how companies that say not tested on animals, that might be true for that company, but they're using products that at some point were tested on animals.
Of course.
So it's other people's work that they just use, and that company just doesn't use animal
I love those tricks. Like during World War II, it was illegal, or it was like frowned upon to buy things that were made in Japan.
Okay.
And so a city in Japan renamed itself to America, Japan. And then products would say made in America, but they were actually made in Japan. It's a good way to get around the system.
Smart.
South Park logic. We should probably explain what Pavlok is if we're going to touch on this.
Okay, yeah, because I do want to ask questions about it.
Yeah, so maybe go ahead.
Sure, so...
I'll answer it. No, do it.
So like the short, like the summary of what it is, Pavlok is a wearable device you put on your wrist or elsewhere. It helps you change your habits or change your internal thoughts using vibration, beep, and an electric zap. So short way to call it, it's an electric smart dog shot collar for humans is what it is.
Can you put it around your penis?
Yes, many people have.
I bet.
Like, I can't orgasm without it.
isn't it supposed to stop you from like...
It helps you stop stuff, but it also intensifies stuff. It really just does things. It's just a zzz. But like, I used to be really, really unproductive, and I was writing a lot. And so I did these experiments to become more productive. I hired a girl to follow me around and slap me in the face whenever I stopped writing. It was...
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, right.
Is this someone you found on Craigslist?
Yep. I found her on Craigslist. She followed me around for about 2 weeks. I wrote like 3 months of content in like 4 days because I never stopped writing. And I wrote this blog post about it that went super viral. So for like 3 or 4 days, I was crazy famous. And then 4 days later, nobody cared because you know, media cycles. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's the next step? Oh, I know, dog shock collar that shocks me if I go on Facebook. My friend's like, let's build it, let's do it. We did it. And I was making it. I was like, this is actually interesting because other devices are tracking what I do. This one's changing what I do. Mm. Maybe it's a real company idea, or maybe it's not just a funny blog post. So that was the genesis of the Pavlok.
Did you actually make like a dog collar around the neck
there? I bought a dog collar and then we like hacked it open and set it to connect to your computer with the Arduino. And
okay.
So it was around your wrist.
Well, what's your background like that you can build devices and shit like that?
I couldn't do hardware, but I was a software engineer before.
Okay.
And
okay.
I was like a marketing blogger, travel blogger.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Okay. That's right. Yeah. That's because I know you also, I know you. I know the viral thing that you did about the DJs who in like hacked in 2 weeks to become famous DJs.
Yeah.
Which was really funny because like as a DJ, I remember seeing it and I was like, oh, that's very funny. But I knew DJs who were like, fuck this, man. That's bullshit. And I was like, you know, you know we're DJs. Relax.
Early 20s Manish was awesome. I missed that guy.
Yeah. That's fun. I want to go back to Pavlok, but like actually that DJ thing, how long did you actually, was it just for the viral video and then you didn't DJ more or?
So the thing that I did, the show called How to Become a Famous Berlin DJ in 90 Days.
Mm-hmm.
And me and a friend moved to Berlin. We tried to figure out how to hack the DJ scene within 20 days being playing shows in Berlin, within 40 days being flown around Europe playing shows. After that, I actually really got into music and I wanted to become a full-time DJ.
Okay.
So I started performing around the US. I went to a music production school in New York.
This is after the viral video.
Okay.
Okay.
And I found out that music production is really freaking boring compared to DJing. It's like the opposite. It's like sitting in front of a knob for 8 hours and twisting it to get the sound right. Same as being in front of the crowd.
Whereas being a DJ is pretending to twist the knob to get the sound right.
Being a DJ is fake twisting a knob, but with the crowd loving you, not right. By yourself in a room sad.
I love that.
I love it too. That's one of my favorite. I love it so much.
I can't imagine DJing for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours.
Yeah, the most I DJed was 16 hours.
Jesus.
Straight. I'm not gay. Is that what you're asking? Yes. Yes, I'm straight.
You say that an awful lot, Arya.
No. No, I don't.
You're like, I'm not gay, but let me talk about Pyroflex.
It's a funny bit. But that was 16 hours. It was at a wedding. It was a very awesome wedding, actually. But
you get energy from being out with the crowd,
totally.
Right? It's the opposite of being by yourself in front of for me at least, not everyone's the same. Like, I think, in fact, they're very opposite personalities. That, like, the kind of person who's very introverted and loves like the technology of the sound is a producer, and then the DJ is the opposite, where they like to be in the crowd, you know, making excitement, and it's like extroversion versus introversion in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So anyway, after I did that, I realized that production wasn't for me, and I went back to the blog.
Okay. And so you stopped DJing too?
At some point I stopped DJing. I kept trying to get shows, but I wasn't really in it. I played a few more shows every once in a while, and then I stopped.
What was your DJ name?
It was DJ Manish was the official
name. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good name.
That's good.
But
that's a good
I have a friend of mine who, I played a show at my old university, and he we made a bet or something, he won, and he had to choose my name. So my show at my old university with posters everywhere was DJ Pussy Crusher.
Jesus.
It was a very entertaining show.
Very early 2010s. Could you hold the mic just a little further down? Yeah, at your mouth. Because it's drifting up to here, and then we're losing the... Yeah.
Like this? Okay.
Perfect.
I was going to say, though, but like, were you actually faking the knobs?
No, I was playing it.
Yeah.
No, I was playing it.
Because Jordan, I think, was joking around, because I don't fake the knobs, man. I do the knobs. You got to do the knobs.
I've DJed a couple weddings, and...
You faked the knobs?
I faked it. I did a whole... I sat alone in a room for 6 hours and made the playlist with the transitions and with everything. And I had a little... drum pad where I would occasionally play samples. You know, it did work, but no, I didn't like do all the...
That's so much more work than actually DJing.
Well, so I did it with Ableton. So with Ableton, you have to like pre-do every song before you play, because it has to be like with Traktor and stuff, you kind of do it on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
But with Ableton, like the beats have to be pre, you know, the beats have to be on the right.
Yeah.
I forget the words.
Auto match and whatever.
It's be pre-matched before the show. So you got to kind of have all your songs ready before you go. And
Jeez.
So in Europe, it was fine, because I had a bunch of four on the floor beats. I got to America, I realized that you can't play the same music you play in Europe. It has to be songs that people know. And so at one show I was playing, I remember I ran out of music like I don't know, halfway through the show. And I was like, fuck, what do I do? And I just swapped it to Spotify's top 50 playlist. And then I faked the knobs for that rest of that show. And that was like the best set I've ever thrown in my entire life.
But wouldn't one song just fade out? And then
just faded out and faded into the next one. Yeah.
And people didn't care.
Like only like one DJ in the back was like, the fuck is this shit?
Nah, but, sure, sure.
But people loved it, right?
Give people what they want.
Yeah, sure. People don't care that much.
Yeah.
But so about Pavlok though. Let's go back to Pavlok because it is interesting. What happened after the show that I was talking about, the
Shark Tank?
Because there's a Canadian one too called like Dragon's Den.
They're much Shark nicer Tank. On that show.
They're like, oh, no problem. We're nice. Is it actually? They're super nice.
They're much nicer.
That's very funny.
Very
but yeah, so what happened right afterwards? Because what happened? It was like you turned down money or something.
Yeah, so we got offered. So basically I went on the show and I... like we had been doing very successfully. We had just launched the product. We had actually been doing very well. We won Shopify's Build a Business competition. So we were like the number one news store in all of Shopify. And
why did you go on the show? Just to get more funding?
I mean, it was to get press. Plus I was willing to make a deal with any shark besides Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful.
Why?
So this guy is famous because he got rich by defrauding a company called Mattel. He sold his company to Mattel. They didn't do due diligence and like, you know, I don't want to get in trouble, so whatever, but like...
Allegedly,
he committed a form or he did some stuff that was really not cool in the sense of he took sales from next month and he put it in this quarter to make it look like his sales were rising, but actually it's like he became the CEO of his division 1 month after the sale happened and it crashed and like essentially he just walked away after destroying an entire division of Mattel and he did that first and after that he was on TV saying that it was like a good thing that 3 billion people live in poverty because it makes them try harder. And I was like, this is not someone like I want to work
get in
with.
Business with, right?
Right, like, cause you can divorce like a spouse, but you can't like divorce an investor. It's like, you have to sell your baby. You have to give up your baby if you want to divorce an investor. Like, that's not something I'm willing to do. So he was the only person I wasn't willing to take a deal with. And he was the one who offered me.
And he's the only one who offered, right?
Yeah.
He sounds like a real jerk.
Norm MacDonald?
And again, it's a little...
go ahead.
Yeah, and like a bit of your connection to the stand-up world in the U.S. might be that... So Neil Brennan wore the Pavlok on his special Blocks, which if you haven't seen Blocks, amazing special, like super well-structured, all connected.
Almost like
funny.
Blocks.
Like Blocks, yes, exactly. Really great jokes in that one. So maybe tell us a bit about... that?
Yeah, so yeah. Neil has just been like a Pavlok user. So he's like we message each other on Instagram and I think we did some kind of show for Pavlok users. Like, I don't know, we gave a discount or something to one of his shows, but he's been using it. So like at the core, the product lets you send vibrations and zaps and sounds to your body. And that can be utilized in millions of ways. It's like, for example, you can use it to remember someone's name. If you zap yourself while you learn someone's name, your brain creates a connection between that stimulus and their name, and it creates a memory, an emotional sort of memory that you
I
don't
usually
forget.
Just hit myself in the balls.
Ah, that works too.
Yeah. Well, it has nothing to do with the name. He just does that for fun.
I just like it.
That's funny. I'm doing that right now. Just zapping it as we talk. But you can also use it to kind of change your thought process or thinking. So if you have negative thoughts, if you zap yourself, it just knocks you out of automatic mode into the present. It's like...
Okay.
Become aware. So that same moment of remembering is the same as like trying to forget. If you want to get over your ex-girlfriend, you can zap yourself while you think about her and your brain will stop wanting to create that thought loop and it will snap itself out earlier in the loop. And so he uses it in a way for like, I think it's for internal thinking and for internal monologues as well as to like get himself motivated or like in the zone. Mm-hmm. Because in the sense, it's kind of just activating your prefrontal cortex and making you a human aware rather than an animal living life. Mm-hmm. So Neil Brennan uses it when he like has, like I'm not 100% sure all the reasons he uses it for, but I know that he uses it for negative thinking. He uses it for like, for helping himself with his jokes and he uses it to like probably remember the jokes in the right way.
Okay. Yeah. So he was just a user that you like, how did you find out he used it from that show Blocks?
No, well before he posted about it before he tagged us.
Gotcha.
So we were Instagram buddies.
I see.
It was cool that he mentioned us on the show. That was really cool.
Yeah. That's cool. I watched that show before I met you, I think. So
that was really cool.
And so it came and went that Pavlok. And so yeah, cool. Very awesome.
I was very lucky there.
Did you Do you like him?
I like his
comedy. Is he nice in person?
Is he a nice guy?
I've never met him. He seems like a great guy, though. He seems very funny. I'd love to meet him.
Yeah, sure. Shark Tank, what happened afterwards? Was it good press? Did it help out at all?
It was actually pretty bad. We had like 39 fake one-star Amazon reviews the day after. It really kind of fucked us up. So we used to be like a 4.8 on Amazon. And then like the day after we were like 2.8 because of fake reviews. And like,
weird.
It really ruined our sales. So we made it like let's say 3 weeks of sales from Shark Tank in one night. But then we lost like 50% of our sales for like the next year.
Damn.
Because of these bad reviews. So for me, like, I mean, in retrospect, like whatever, it made us stop focusing on the marketing and start focusing on the quality of the product. It made us build a better product over time. And like in the long run, it's good. In the long run, I still own the majority share of the company. We didn't have to give, you know, royalties to Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And the company's doing great. But like, you know, it would have been nice if it went a little differently on the show, I think. And in retrospect, I probably would have like, I don't know if I would have acted differently on the show, I think.
I mean, that's the first thing I thought of is like the thing I said is basically like, this is what they told us in school to cite other work. So what the fuck are you talking about? That's how science works.
I think what they probably want you to do is be like, yes, good point. We'll get on that immediately or some shit like that. But then that would be a lie because you're not going to do it. I don't know. Maybe there's no way out of it. You know,
like, it was a really weird situation. And Mark Cuban was just having a bad day. We felt there was 8 episodes filmed that day. And Every single person was like, Mark Cuban was mean today. I think he slept on the wrong side of the bed or something.
Okay.
So why perform stand-up?
Yeah, so good question. Why?
Was it because of Neil Brennan?
No, it was not.
No?
I don't even like him.
I think it's because we came to Gatsby the first time I met both of you, actually. I always enjoyed stand-up. I like love to watch stand-up. I also think I did try stand-up like once or twice in Boston like a decade ago or like 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But like I think it was like a two-minute like, oh, we were at some show. My friend's like stand-up up there. But my friend who does DJing, he is now a professional stand-up comedian. He does European shows that are really cool.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
His name's Rockman Blake. He does a show called Story Party. It's like relationship stand-up comedy. And yeah, he looks just like you.
He's my best friend.
Exactly. But anyway, he always did stand-up. I love the concept of stand-up. I always wanted to kind of do it. Like, I thought I'd be really good at it. And so while I was here in Warsaw, it felt like a really, like, no-risk environment to try it out.
You're trying to say?
I'm trying to say that people are very nice here, and you don't have to be that funny
to be the best.
Yeah, you've got a stand-up personality. I mean, I hadn't met you. Maybe I met you before you performed.
I met you the first time was at Gatsby, so right before I performed.
What did I say?
You were just kind. I don't know what you said. You were nice.
Yeah, I don't fully remember that. But then I saw you performed. I saw the name Manish. And then I met you later. And I was like, oh yeah, this guy should be doing stand-up. Because sometimes you meet people and they just have like a presence about them that you think they would probably be good on stage.
Yeah.
I think you're one of those people.
It's either confident or like really like awkward. It's like one of those two. It's like some side of the gamut where I kind of love like the awkward comedians.
Yeah.
Like the like the dark comedy or the sad ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. One of those two.
Kamal Gerard, who performed at the show last night, he's got some of the confidence, but mostly he'll just say things to me in conversation that are so funny in this way that I don't understand. You know, he's going to hate me for this. but he was like, you know, I wish I had a good singing voice. I can sing low notes sometimes. Sometimes I sing some low notes. I call it my songbird voice. Like, like fully felt earnest. And we were in the car. I was just dying laughing at whatever the fuck.
Like, is this a joke? Am I supposed to laugh?
Yeah.
Or is this serious?
And you can't quite put your finger on what it is that's funny about it.
And then do you do it on stage? Then do you do it on stage?
What do you mean? Songbird bit?
Yeah, just someone says something in conversation and you did it on stage yesterday.
which part?
My boob ass joke.
Oh yeah. Okay, so last night I did a show Ariel hosted, Carmel Gerard featured, Manish was in the audience. Bottom third of shows for me. I don't think it went very well. I was doing some newer stuff. Some riskier stuff that if it doesn't go well, it just fucking leaves a bad taste. Like some topics that maybe more darker or more personal stuff that
I thought it was a great show though, man. I thought it was a good show.
I appreciate that. Please say it again.
I thought it was a great show.
Thank you. I didn't. I was not happy about it. But yeah, I did. I added a tag just based on something that Ariel had said to me that I thought was kind of funny. And the audience, no, they didn't.
That is a bit though that I have.
Really?
Yeah. Where okay. It's like, it's basically, because it was, you were talking about, oh, don't you ever get caught for staring at boobs.
It was more the bit is not, look, it's not that simple.
Yeah, but like, but still, let me say that like, and then the part, I mean, that I said, I was like, well, no, I'm an ass guy, so they're never looking at me. Mm-hmm. And the whole bit is actually about how women who have big boobs are jerks. Because everyone treats them so nice to their face. Whereas girls with nice asses, like people, they walk away after a conversation. You're like, oh shit.
I should be nice.
And so then they're like, they're nicer people. So these boob women are just bitches. So yeah, but still, with that said.
That sounds logical.
Yeah, it's logical.
The math works out.
It's a theory, that's all.
We support women. On the Comedy Hole podcast, we don't have the woman that's supposed to be here because, you know, she's unreliable. She's a woman.
When I was in sixth grade, I found a spy store on eBay and I bought these sunglasses that had a mirror on the back of them.
Jesus.
On the side of them. And I was like, yo, man, if I was an ass man, these would be perfect because you could just see everybody walking by.
Yeah. But yesterday, no, I thought it was, I had fun, but like also the only thing about the show is I thought you were really in a really bad mood when you were doing the problems where you Jordan takes the problems. We were all there, but for the audience, Jordan takes people's problems that they write down and he reads them. And at one point you read one and you're like, you should just kill yourself.
I was like, what?
I was like, dude,
whoa,
man.
Hey,
relax.
Hey, if you had heard this problem, you would also think
no. I mean, that's bad advice to give to somebody, but good advice for the world.
Were you having a bad time for the problems?
I had fun at the problems section, actually. It was actually nice for me. But there were too many. I was a little frustrated at that point because there were some people in the front row that were talking too much.
Jesus Christ, and American girls.
Just because they like the show. They want to be like in the show and they derail bits by just blurting shit out. Sometimes that's fun. If it's a small room, thank God for that.
Yep.
But this is, you know, this was decent size. It was like 50, 60 people. Anyway, I had put out a specific number of pieces of paper, you know, because that's like the maximum before there are too many problems to go through. Mm-hmm. And people had been writing things on napkins, you know, tearing the paper into like fourths. And so I had like probably 30 problems to get through. I enjoyed it, but I could see if I was giving off some negative vibes. I think that's actually fine for that.
you told someone to kill themselves.
Who hasn't?
That's awful.
Hey, it's comedy.
But actually for comedy though, about the jokes, I honestly, about the ass boobs thing, I was just like, oh yeah, well, I said that to you. But
yeah, I said a friend of mine said,
yeah, what would you think about then, what's your feeling about, like, let's say two comedians are talking, comedians though, mm-hmm. And one comedian says something funny, then you should be like, oh, you should do that on stage or something like that.
With the ass man thing, do you think I should have asked you about that?
I think you were flailing also, and you just popped in your head and you had to.
Yeah.
You had to do it, so that's why I'm like, yeah, whatever.
There is, you know, the MILF bit I have, which I'm not happy that I have a MILF bit, but... Hey, it's worked a couple times. Didn't work great last night, but
the Bobcha part was good.
Yeah, thank you. That's from something another comedian said to me in a conversation, and then later I was like, "Look, are you going to do this bit? Because I want to take this premise." And
yeah,
he was
right.
like, "That's fine. I'm never going to do that."
Right.
And then yeah, he gave me permission, and I sort of expanded on it.
But like 100%, right. Like isn't all of the way like how do you come up with jokes if it's not through conversation?
Very much. You're
oh,
totally
showering.
Right. No, but you're
staring into space.
ChatGPT.
You're absolutely right. But that happens all the time where it's like there's a conversation going on, and then something pops in your head. But and then the other person doesn't realize it, and you realize something's funny.
Well, here's another,
and then that's your bit. Of course, that happens all the time. So that's why I'm asking about, like, let's say it's two comedians, and a comedian says something funny.
Yeah,
like but they don't realize it.
Well, here's a reverse example, because in the UK, when we were at that show and they were like, Timothy Winkler never walked the bing bong. Like, I was doing that bit like all the next morning, you know.
Yeah,
like,
we both did that bit, but
I was doing it first.
No, you weren't.
Yeah.
No. Oh, shit.
We were immediately doing that. Okay.
Wait, if we're talking about stealing bits, this is going to get into stealing bits.
Ooh, let me know though if you feel like I've stolen bits. I'm going to do a set on pirate flags today.
On the show.
No, I don't want to get into stealing bits.
Oh, I think Manish wants to hear about it.
The only one also that happens is from hosting. Is like I had a joke that, because we have a very international group, you know, I'd be like, oh, you know, Manish is from the States or this person's from India. And the first few times when I had that, I had everyone from outside of Poland. And so I was like, and this next person is all the way from, and I would check my notes, Poland, and we're in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
You do that all the time.
I mean, everyone does that.
I was first though.
How do you know that? I really doubt you're the first person to say all the way from and then the local place.
But
I don't think that's the original period.
All right, Jordan.
I've seen people do that in Spain, dude.
So Jordan.
So which is not original in the first
but
place.
But if you saw me do it on stage and then you do it, isn't that?
No, if I
is this the last episode of the podcast? No, this is the breakup episode.
This is a good point.
Isn't it stealing?
No, because here's my rule of thumb about this. I try not to do this, but if I see 3-4 different people do essentially the same thing, especially with hosting or crowd work, I'll allow myself to do that because you're all. It's not original enough to steal. That bit of all the way from right here, that is not original.
But
dude.
So for me, I came up with it because I never saw anyone do that. So don't you feel like when you are seeing someone do something, you don't want to do that bit because you want to come up with your own original thing?
When I'm hosting an open mic and nothing matters a ton, and
why
I know that
matter?
It's not
everything
original.
Matters.
Everything matters, sure. But yes, everything matters, Ariel.
Everything.
Every moment of your life matters.
Every single moment, equally the same.
I'm going to interject here. I think it's clear that like from like my perspective, I don't think it's a big deal what Jordan did. But from my same perspective, it's clear that Ariel is affected by it.
Okay.
So from my perspective,
like to never do
it
again?
Sounds
I'm
like you should not do that again and apologize and say I'm sorry, I didn't know or whatever.
I'm going to say I apologize, but I think you're wrong.
I think that's not an apology, and I don't think you really need to apologize.
Yeah, that's not.
I just don't think you should do it again. I think you called him out on
then
it.
Then
you shouldn't
apologize.
I don't know. I don't. I mean, I think that the thing is that it's more important that like if he felt it wasn't cool, that like you don't do it again. And apologies, I don't know if that's our own thing, but it sounds to me like from my perspective, especially during a hosting session, like if you copy a hosting, it's different than like a stand-up routine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like a hosting thing, like it's not that crazy to make a similar joke. But
also, Terry did that, I think just a few days ago as well.
Yeah, everyone's copying me, man.
Shouldn't you just be like, oh, nice.
Well, yeah, that's like my, there's a line from 93 Till Infinity that's like, you know, you that's a dope song. It's a dope song where it's like, people bite your flows, but you make up new ones.
Yeah,
yeah, right? Exactly. I don't think you need my apology.
No, I don't. And that's why I also never brought this up because when we were just talking about the topic. So because it really, when it comes down to it, it's like, I stopped doing the bit because I'm like, all right, well, now everyone's doing it.
But also everyone has pet peeves as well. Maybe this is one of yours. I think stealing things is
stealing jokes. Yeah,
no, but stealing unoriginal jokes, I just think is not a. You know, sure, it feels original to you. But look, I went to New York and found out a couple of my bits are just done all the time, and I just stopped doing them. And I was like, I wasn't like,
yeah.
You know, okay, it's not as original as I thought it
absolutely.
Was.
Absolutely, of course, and I've seen that before where someone does a joke that I came up with. But they did it 4 years ago, and I'm like, fuck, it already was done. And so I have to stop doing it. But it's different when you're in the scene.
You have to stop doing it? Is that how you feel about that?
Yeah, because like...
You found out your joke was already done, stopped doing it?
Because
I'm like,
someone
if we did it differently, then...
Like, I do this joke, and I have done it since because I do it a little differently, but I was so disappointed when I heard the joke was done. And so I was like, I have a different take on it, but now I have it in my head that someone else already kind of had this topic, so I'm going to just not do it eventually. Probably now. I'll stop doing it now.
So after tonight, we'll see how it goes.
You know, it's so absolutely, but it's like, it's different when it's like, it's in the, if you were in New York and you were doing, and you never saw anyone do it, and then people started doing it, you would be like, wait, I was doing this first, motherfuckers.
I've seen this happen with a couple of things that I, especially like earlier, when I started, did a couple things that I saw a few people just do, like the show after, you know? And I was a little bit annoyed, but I was also like, meh. And but also, it's like, if it's not personal to you and it's not like ingenious, then it's not a really expensive commodity.
I think my bigger, and it's not really a pet peeve, it's more like, I find it lame, is like, if you see a joke done, just don't do that joke because it's not original.
I think there's a give and take. Like,
I don't think there's an answer to this, guys.
No? You don't think so?
Let's give it 30 more seconds. Well, there's a thing I've seen a few comedians do that I used to do just because I was like, you know, I've got a, when I was doing shows totally myself, so opening for myself and then also doing an hour, doing like 80 fucking minutes on stage and like had to do a lot of crowd work. There's a thing people do in Europe where it's like, oh, you're from Italy and you speak English. That's incredible. Basically always works, but it's like, you know, it's not creative, it's not original. And at a certain point, I was like, I'm just going to stop doing that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't, yeah.
And especially,
I want to push myself.
And especially at the stage we're at now, because we're young comedians, you being the youngest, but like, mm-hmm. where sometimes you flail on stage, you're like, fuck, what else am I going to do? And then you say something that is a little hacky because you're just flailing.
Yeah.
Hang on. I've never flailed on stage.
Really? I've watched you.
Ooh, I don't recall.
but you have confidence. So.
That's all it takes.
Let's bring it back to Manish. Manish.
Wait. Also, listen, you don't have to apologize. You can have my joke. Absolutely no problem.
And you can have my joke about the UK thing.
All right.
And you see how you don't agree with me? And you, okay, yeah.
That's because
so you guys don't
now
listen.
We shake hands.
No.
So you guys just don't listen to famous comics in other languages and then just translate their jokes and then just repeat them on stage in English?
Oh, yeah.
That's
not what
that's
you do?
That's a very good idea.
There was a guy in France who did that.
I mean, it makes a ton of sense. I just had that idea today.
No, that's terrible. Don't do that.
I think
that
there was some comedian who was doing this.
It was in France.
So my brother wrote this book that's like a New York Times bestseller. And for 2 years, the number one bestselling book in Brazil was a book of exactly the same title with the same cover.
But
that was just
in
Portuguese?
Jesus.
By another guy. Yeah. I was like, oh, I get it.
So, Jordan, you think that's cool then?
No, obviously.
Jesus Christ.
I think if the book is like, I am in a coffee shop, ding dong ding, like, sure, copy the book. I don't care.
Yeah, that was a New York Times bestselling book.
Great analogy. That's a really good analogy.
All right, let's bring it back to Manish.
Let's bring it back to
Manish.
The man, Manish.
What was your favorite part of my show?
Jordan is bragging.
I really like the part with Ariel. That was really good.
Oh, nice.
And Camille's part was pretty good too.
Nice.
I think that's it.
Oh, you got me.
I liked
Don't answer that. What was your least favorite part?
Oh man, definitely the YouTube song. That song is
really
ratchet. I'm sorry.
Interesting. Well, what do you not like about it? Because I've had that song do well.
Oh man, I hate that song.
What about it?
The other two songs are really good, and I think that there are edits that you could make them better.
For sure.
But they're great. But that song is, I don't know, it's not compelling, and even the music is slow.
Mm.
But like, out of all addictions, I mean, the end is funny, the last line.
Mm.
But apart from that, I don't find it compelling. I was like, oh, this song again. So that was
okay. Interesting.
I don't know. That sounds so mean. I wanted to tell you that.
This is.
But it seems like the only time I could do it is live in front of an audience.
this is the opportunity. I value that kind of stuff way more than like, oh, I liked the song about the bum that people like.
Yeah.
Because that one I've been trying to figure out because I have had it do really well.
I can't. How?
I don't get what you hate about it. I think the.
What do you like about it?
I think the guitar part, which I did fuck it up on stage this time.
I think the guitar part
is like pretty. And I do have a YouTube addiction. And actually after writing that song, I watch YouTube way less.
Because what's the song about?
It's called I Can't Stop Watching YouTube.
Uh-huh.
It's about being addicted to YouTube and watching too much YouTube.
How, and what's the kind of like punchline of it?
at least I'm not watching porn.
That part's great. But I felt like, in fact, I felt maybe that's the point. Like, you know, Ariel gave me advice when I was on stage that sometimes I tell stories and the stories are long without jokes. And you can tell long stories, but they need to have funny call-outs in each point of the song or of the story. I feel maybe that's the YouTube thing. It's a, it builds up to a funny joke, which no doubt, but there's no funny parts in the song. So it's just kind of like a long song about you watching a lot of YouTube.
But I have, that's a newer song, 2 weeks, and I've done it at a few shows, and a couple of the shows, it got a really good response at the parts that I think are funny.
Which like the animals and stuff?
Yeah. Just like
I don't know, man. Everyone's got different tastes. That's just...
The new Little Mermaid. Yeah, but I agree something is off with the song, and it got like no response, basically. So it's probably going to be retired.
You can use the same melody for another else. Topic. Because it is, if it's like a nice melody, is like a nice melody.
I can't stop watching porno. No. I can't stop watching...
Hentai. So there's something.
There's something there. Yeah.
Yeah, because a nice melody is always can be repurposed, of course. Dr. Dre.
I would like your songs to have like... to break into, like, because they're soft melodies that kind of stay soft, especially your first song. I forget which one it was, but the song was killer. It was really good. Do you remember what your first song was last night?
Does My Dick Look Gay?
Yeah. Opener. I just felt like it needed like a breakdown beat. Like it was like soft, with like a section there. Like, you know, like Business Time, that song by the Flight of the Conchords. Like it's got a beat, and then it like breaks out into a part. Like, that would be really cool on your songs because they're all kind of steady and calm. But like sometimes I'm like, this is a cool song. I just thought, I'm
actually, would you do that? Like, because you press, I noticed this time you pressed your sampler for the girlfriend part, right? And so you just press that. Would you do that where you just press a beat and then?
It's a good idea.
I think that could switch things up for sure.
The best idea out of this conversation. I think the Dick song is finished. I think it works. But for other songs...
Dick song, yeah.
For other songs, I agree. And I've been looking at ways to mix things up. Because I used to do electronic music and it was all very dynamic and everywhere. But now it's just everything I write is vocals and guitar. And I only have a limited skill set on guitar.
Have you considered getting better at that?
Yeah, I have. I've considered doing a lot of things. They take a lot of time.
But yeah, a beat where all you do is press the thing because it could loop.
That's one way. But also what I was thinking is, and I think that's actually maybe easier and better way. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking in my head was just like taking the song and adding like a chorus that isn't the same as the same beat the entire time. Uh-huh. So just like,
that's good idea and good feedback. What else did you hate about the show?
No, I didn't hate anything about the show. I thought it was a really good show. I think it was good. I don't think... I hated the two fucking American girls in the front. They were annoying.
Not even American.
I told them to sit there, too. And also, I'm hosting. I was like, there's two empty seats. Who wants to sit here? And it was the two American
girls. God, we're the worst, man.
Yeah. Who would have known?
Every time I think about going back, I'm like, this is what I'd have to deal with.
And the Ukrainian pirate...
Oh, man.
And then I think the worst was the couple in the far left who just kept blurting out stuff. Just kept doing it. And even in my fucking closer... I was just, you know, at that point I was broken. I didn't care about the show anymore, really. But I was still plowing through it.
It was good, man. It wasn't that bad.
But everyone has their own baseline for what they...
My standards are high, so that hurt.
But anyway, halfway through my fucking closing bit, a guy is just like, I couldn't even understand what he was saying.
Oh, man. I was annoyed at the audience a lot.
Because the front row was annoying.
Yeah, right.
I think the whole room, and I don't think I ever...
you started off by letting them in the show, and then as soon as you did, they took it a little too far.
Yeah. It's a rare show now, and it's usually Hydra Zagadka. It's usually that venue.
Mm.
Something about it.
Like, it's designed like a...
Something about it makes people feel compelled to interrupt. Because I typically, if I have that at shows, it's a really quick thing, and I... deal with it and I turn it into something funny and then it's a big nice thing and then they don't keep talking.
I want to do security at your next show, man. It's time for you to shut up, man.
Just come and just drag people out.
Yeah, kick people out. Have you ever, like, if you had security, thought, oh man, that would be great to kick that person out of the show?
I've kind of kicked someone out on stage by politely asking that they leave and letting them know that everyone wants them to leave and that I'm sure they're a good person and everything, and then he did leave. And
okay,
he was like, I'm sorry, I just, you know, it's give up in the war in Ukraine and all that, and everyone was just like, okay, and he walked out and everyone cheered when he left.
Okay,
that was in Poznan.
I see.
But yeah.
War in Ukraine.
Yeah, he was not Ukrainian, he was just like, you know, I guess he was trying to have a touch point for people to like him.
One thing about the last night's show that was a fun, it was like a lucky coincidence, is because I had to host, then Kami went on, right? And then I had to host again after the break to bring Jordan up. And before then, I was like, you want me to do material or you just want me to pull you up? And Jordan was like, yeah, do whatever you want, whatever. And so I did my joke about gay pirates.
You did. You sure did.
And like, then that was perfect because your first song is Does My Dick Look Gay? And there was a guy who looked like a pirate in the front.
In the front. Yeah,
that
was good.
Who came after I did bit. So it was a fun coincidence.
Serendipitous.
Serendipitous.
It is serendipitous.
Yeah. Oh, so also, why are you in Poland?
Good question. I think it's the same as every guy who is in Poland, girlfriend who is Polish.
Not me, boy. Hungarian, baby.
Yeah, not gay at all. I'm just kidding. No, I started dating a girl in who's Polish, and then now I'm here.
In America, you started dating.
I met her during COVID, so we met online through a Pavlok customer. And I asked my Pavlok customer friend who's Polish, I was like, you have any hot friends? I've asked that question to a million people. I've never got a yes.
I've never thought to ask that.
Yeah. You should. And then she's like, actually, I do. I was like, that's weird. So she introduced us. We met during COVID. She flew to Mexico. And we hung out for 4 days. And that became 3 weeks. And that became now 2.5 years.
Mm. And you never went to Poland beforehand?
Just for DJing a show.
Oh, so you have been here before?
I've been here when I was doing my YouTube show, like in 2011. So not really.
So shit has still changed since 2011.
Yeah. I didn't even know what Jobco was.
Sure.
But yeah, I came here back then, and then I visited her. This is like my fourth or fifth trip here now. I come for like a month at a time, 2 months at a time.
Oh, you don't live here?
No, I'm not legally allowed to stay in Europe more than 3 months.
Yeah, so
I have to leave. I leave next week, 27th.
Gotcha. And that's why you leave. So you live actually back in what, Miami?
I don't officially live anywhere. I live in a new country often. But these days, I've been here a lot. I kind of like it. I really didn't like this place until actually stand-up. Because before I met you guys, I had zero friends. And it was so cold.
Yeah.
And like the only thing the city has going for it is cheap prices and WeWorks. Mm-hmm. Which are...
And what?
Wait, WeWorks. The office. Co-working office space.
Okay, gotcha.
They have really good ones. Really good ones. But like, especially during winter, it was so depressing. And I live in a small place with like all these animals and stuff. But so... Anyway, now I'm getting used to it. I kind of like it. Mm-hmm. I soon will have residency in Europe, that like Portuguese golden visa thing. So I'll soon have a residency permit. So maybe I'll stay longer.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
We'll see.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, that's the thing. I moved here because of DJing. And so immediately I was opened up to parties and nightlife and what's going on in the scene. And so I was like, wow, Warsaw's amazing. And that's why I moved here. And so when I hear people are like, oh man, there's nothing to do or something. I'm like, what? There's so much to do.
There's a lot to do. Like, there's a lot of stuff to do if you're willing to do stuff. It's not like a... It's not like a mad. Like, I mean, the weather makes a big difference, right? So, like during the summer, it's a lot easier to be happier, and harder during the winter. But it's kind of like any city where if you try, you can make friends and you'll have a good time. But if you don't try, you won't make friends and you'll feel like the city sucks. It's not you.
Right.
It's a city.
Every year in Poland, I tell myself, never another winter in Poland. And then I just keep.
Why do you stay in Poland? Why did you stay why do you stay in Poland?
Why? Warsaw is my favorite city I've lived in.
That's cool.
In Boston, New York.
Really?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
That's nice.
And I like it. You know, the winter is rough, but you can also travel. So in this winter, I spent like 3 weeks touring in Spain, you know. And then when I got back, there was still fucking 3 more months of winter. Like winter went through April, May this year.
You guys are crazy. I'm from Canada. This ain't nothing.
inertia. Also, and I last year I got a job in Barcelona, a remote job, with plans to move, but then they were like, oh, we'll just pay to fly you out and it's cheaper to live here. So then I just ended up staying anyway.
Barcelona's dope, though. They have Taco Bell there.
Yeah. I love Barcelona. I still might eventually move there. Great stand-up scene, but, shout out Comedy Clubhouse. That job I talked about on the show.
I thought you still worked there?
No. Did you not listen? They fired me.
You said you left, but like I didn't know that was in Barcelona.
Yeah, it was in Barcelona.
Got it.
Yeah.
But Warsaw's your favorite city that you ever lived. How many cities did you live in?
New York, Boston, Charlotte, North Carolina, like another city in North Carolina.
Fair enough. Shit cities. Warsaw's the best of those.
New York is
cool.
New York is great to live in for a few years. I was there for like 4 or 5
I'm
years.
Be there next
and
month.
At a certain point you realize like no one I know is happy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It seems like that kind of city. Every time I visit New York, I'm like, I can't
do shit there, man.
It's
like,
so I might have to move back for a stand up if I'm gonna do this.
For sure, man.
I was just visiting and like that's the place to get as good as you can get.
But there's something about the vibe there. I'm going to be there all of July. And like every, I mean, it's also like the thing about US versus not US, like the culture of the US is like, there's this like drive to be the best at whatever you do, even if you suck. Mm. And it's something I'm kind of missing because like life is better outside of the US. Like life is better in Warsaw. It's, you know, cheaper, it's easier to live. Everyone's happier in some sort of way. Kind of, it's easy to be happy. But like, I never meet people who are striving to be billionaires or people who are striving to like change the world. Like the ones who are typically like, you know, people like Jordan who are Americans who are abroad. Like, remember there was this guy from Lithuania who was doing this comedy thing. He came and did a show here.
No.
So there was a show that we went to Rakieta like a couple months ago. And there was this one English comic who's hilarious, who is like British and small and tells these great jokes. And there's another American guy who's like doing Lithuania comedy. And the British guy's hilarious. I asked him like, what are you doing with your like comedy life? He's like, oh, it's something I do on the side. I'm like, this guy could be famous.
The one-liner?
The one-liner guy.
Yeah, yeah. Will.
Yeah, Will.
Will Bradford. Yeah, he's very funny.
And then there was this guy from American in Lithuania who was not funny. And he was like, I'm going to make the world's biggest Eastern European comedy in, or European show that's in English. It's going to be the biggest thing ever. And I'm like, that's such a difference. Like the quality of the talent or the skill is irrelevant. Like if you're from America, it's the biggest, it's the best. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, like it's always a side thing or it's like,
yeah.
And so I'm in a lot of ways kind of missing that after a few years outside the US. So I'm excited for a month back in the US to see what it's like.
Yeah. So just to actually recharge your battery and then come back and have that mentality kind of thing.
That mentality helps. I mean, like being here, I haven't like focused on my business much. You know, it's like, it's just like, yes, to recharge and see how it feels again.
Right.
I think
right.
America has that drive that other countries don't have. And it's, I don't think it's a negative.
I mean, I think it's a good thing to always go back and see how other countries, whether it's America or whatever. I mean, I'm from Canada. It's a little different, but it's very similar in Toronto where it's just like, go, 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 push, do this, keep pushing and going back. When I went back and did stand up there, I was like, oh fuck, I'm doing a good thing here in Warsaw, start like doing this comedy scene and all that kind of stuff. And it does recharge your battery to be like, let's fucking go. We can do this. That that kind of, you know, mentality, you know, totally. As opposed to just staying in your own bubble and not realizing what the rest of the world is doing.
100%. I mean, like in Warsaw, there's like, it's a small comedy scene. It's actually pretty good compared to most cities I've been in.
Yeah, yeah.
But like New York is like a different world, right? Like it's going to be hard to become, like to get a Netflix special from being a Warsaw DJ.
I mean, even just making any money whatsoever is
quite
difficult. You know, like I can tour around in Europe and scrape by, and that's like a huge achievement by comedy standards. In New York, I wouldn't know. Like you have to pay to go up at most open mics. You have to pay $5.
Yeah, that's insane.
Oh, you have to pay to perform.
Yeah. And I did one, and I was invited to one real show, but it was like a free show. You know, no one's getting paid for that. It's almost like 10 comedians. So no one is really making money in the city except maybe the top 0.1%. And then you make all the money, I guess, by touring around. I'm going to look into doing a US tour of like little cities.
Yeah, it seems like
that's possible.
It seems like a good idea.
But New York is the place that you improve. You know, I was doing 3-4 mics a day.
A day.
You can't do that anywhere else.
You should check out my buddy Rockman, the guy I mentioned earlier. He has a show called Story Party. And he started off with like these comedy shows that were like just free and small. And now, if I recall, he charges something like $20 to $30 per show. And he tours around all of Europe and does like hundreds of people per show are coming. And he built a really cool like show. It's something that you might be interested in seeing what he does.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, let's wrap this up. Unless Manish, I have a very important question for you.
What's up?
Do you like puppies?
It's a real letdown.
Oh, well, unfortunately, I'm using a joke about that. Today, I'm bringing my puppy to Rakieta.
Well, I really had nothing, so I was kidding.
I have a joke that I did last time that apparently Arya liked. I don't know if he's referring to that right now. But
also, you performed for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this will be
no,
nice.
It was a lucky coincidence.
But I have a very cute puppy, and his name is Chorizo. He is... great. And
now I remember.
I met the puppy.
Yeah, you met the puppy. Yeah. And so he was born on the same day that my girlfriend had fake breasts installed.
Wow.
And so...
now I remember.
I like to say that...
Three births.
Three puppies were born that day. Look at that. Just like the Indian guy at the show last night, stealing my punchline. So he'll be on stage today.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember you did that joke. Yeah. And because he was like, oh yeah, that was exactly what you said. The same day as my girlfriend got fake breasts, and she's actually here tonight. And I saw all the guys' heads like turn, look back, and when I went on stage, I had to point that out.
Yeah.
That's so good.
100%. Usually people are like, oh, you know, I'm a foreigner and my girlfriend's here. No one looks.
Yeah, yeah.
So
she was like, today she's like, what am I going to wear? If you're going to make that joke today, what I got to choose what to wear to the set. I'm like, how about a sweatshirt? God damn it.
Cover yourself up.
How about a heat? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but no, we were going to, I was kidding around about the puppies, but it did lead to something. We're going to end this episode. But Manish, thank you very much for coming. It's been a pleasure. And I'm sure we'll see you back when you're back.
I'm back.
When are you back, actually?
I shall be back in probably like October-ish when the 3 months are over.
Okay. And we'll see your fifth performance tonight. So
yeah, should be good stuff.
So
this episode was sponsored by Pavlok.
That's right.
Pavlok. Shock your nuts.
Yes, Pavlok.com. Check it out.
Yeah.
I'm working on a stand-up comedy app for the device. So
oh, nice.
That's something to talk about another time.
Okay, cool.
Queet.
Very awesome.
Queet is not a word, but queet.
Queet. Queet. Queet. Let's end it on queet. Everybody.
Ciao.
Ciao.
You're welcome.